is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
You know, I look back and think about all of the success. And when I hear, was it Bill? Was it Tom? It's just, it's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful to every player that helped win a championship for the Patriots.
Hour two of KJ and Lyons on St. Patrick's Day, where all the bumper music, John, celebrates some of the greatest from Ireland, like Din Lizzy.
There you go, KJ. Look at you playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Well, plus I had to get my man lineup, Billy Lineup, in there, an Irish brother, rock brother. Yeah, you got to find him. Look, that's Scott Pioli talking about what John mentioned maybe 4 or 5 minutes ago, like how disrespectful it was. Or it has been, this Brady versus Belichick commentary. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll get to your calls in 30 seconds. John, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it's one of those things, like, you can tell me that you think Brady is most responsible for them winning 6 championships and Belichick is second most responsible, but it goes way beyond those two guys. Like, we're talking about multiple players already in the Hall of Fame from that run, more to come. Hall of Fame level assistant coaches, like Dante Scarnecchia could be a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Josh McDaniels, people hate him for some reason around here, the best offensive coordinator in the league while he was in charge of the Patriots offense. Brian Flores, great assistant coach. Romeo Crennel, great defensive coordinator for years. Like, all these coaches, all these players, I just think it's a slap in the face to to Scott Pioli himself. Right. And Nick Caserio as well. It's a slap in the face to all those guys that were instrumental. I mean, how about Adam Vinatieri? I mean, your first 3 Super Bowls, you won by 3 points and you beat the Raiders in the snow because he kicked one of the most amazing field goals ever to tie that game.
Are you too young to remember when he was just a rookie and he only did kickoffs but wasn't the field goal kicker?
Is that when he tackled Herschel Walker?
It could be. It would be around that time.
Yeah, I remember that.
When he only did kickoffs, but, I mean, just a booming leg. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. Thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
How you doing, guys? Thank you for stepping in today. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah,
I married one from Somerville, so 39 years. You've been fighting on my junk for 39 years. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't care if this is a talk show about who came first, the chicken or the egg, okay?
First of all,
after the third Super Bowl, didn't Kraft give all the pull to Bill Belichick? Okay. Now, the NFL, the owners, the players, the fans, 60% of the NFL, they hate us because we won 6 Super Bowls with penny cash money. Bill Belichick fabricated players for non-big schools. Okay. That's one. Okay. Two, if it wasn't for Bill Belichick, and you can ask anybody that then got drafted in high ranking, okay, that this guy knew what he was doing. The only thing wrong with him, it was his Woody Hayes type of coaching. And some players took it, but not today. They do not want this Woody Hayes type of coaching today.
I can agree to that, Paul, because environments change, right? It's, you know, like drinking from a water hose is suddenly not the thing to do these days.
Yeah, and you notice, too, like on Paul's point, like the way Teddy Bruschi talks about Bill is a lot different than the way Danny Amendola talks about. And that's obviously an extreme
example.
Danny,
I'm ungrateful.
But even those second guys, like, you know, it felt like some of those guys, like I feel like Edelman and Slater and McCourty, they would have fit in any of the eras. But it felt like a lot of those guys in the second half had a little bit of a different mentality than some of the guys in the first half.
Yeah. Paul, thanks for the call. Yeah, I totally agree.
But I think it's more than just that. I mean, Bill wasn't a nice guy to play for all the time, but if he drafted better, he'd still be the head coach.
Well, I think,
like, we got to be honest with ourselves there.
Well, I think during the period of when you're not dominating again and when you have the chances of Pittsburgh winning it and the Colts get a couple of cracks at the egg, you know, you start to wonder, and it addresses it in the dynasty, is like, okay, does that my way or the highway thing work as much? And then I think if you're someone like Amendola who comes in, I think you should be nothing less than grateful.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Amendola, the root of it is they wanted him to take pay cuts like multiple times. And well, he's probably still mad about that.
Well, here's the thing.
Like when your boss is a jerk to you and he asks you to take a pay cut, you're probably going to create some bitterness.
Well, here's the other part of it. On what team in the NFL would you have ever said that Danny Amendola is the highest paid receiver on that team?
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying that's like from his perspective, I think that's why you see these. And even I believe after he signed with Miami, he gave like this interview like riding in a van with Mike Reese. I don't know if you remember this. And he called Bill like an a-hole in the interview. It was like really kind of I was like, whoa, that's a real.
But this
shot.
Is the same Bill that put on contract. I'm going to make you the highest paid receiver on this team. And he did it, and it was a couple of times. So, my you know, like what they say, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, Amendola was a kick returner specialist. That's what he was before he got here. What was he when he left here?
Really good. Well, and really well paid by Miami. Well,
no, was he really good or was he just well paid?
I think, no, he was, I mean, he was good. When he was here, he was
he
good.
Had great moments.
I'm not going to take that away from him. He was, especially in the postseason.
There you go. He had great moments, but it was really the Julian Edelman show. Even Chris Hogan was able to step into, that's what's right. Like, Amendola was the highest paid guy, and here's Hogan and Edelman showing their worth more than the guy who's getting the most.
But the thing about Amendola, which is odd too, is like if you look at his early years in St. Louis, he had a couple huge seasons, but then he also had a year where he missed an entire year, essentially, or like 15 out of 16 games due to injury. So then they signed him a couple years after that injury, and they still gave him more money than Wes Welker got with Denver when he left. So they paid him, like you said, really well initially. But then I think when they went to him and they wanted pay cuts, and Bill was not nice to him, that created bitterness there. And I think it's pretty clear that bitterness is still there. And also, like he said, I mean, he was Tom's friend. He's Team Tom. So that also kind of probably colors it a little bit, too.
Right. And that's addressed in the dynasty as well, is there were people who were seeing how Tom was being just absolutely just driven by Belichick in front of everybody. And I think some of these newer guys, especially Gronk, and even Gronk alluding to him on draft day, getting the call from Bill telling him, like, pretty much sit your ass down and act like you've been there before type deal. I think they'll rub those guys kind of the wrong way. 617-779-7937, KJ Lyons on WEEI. Let's go to Mike in Boston. Mike, happy St. Paddy's Day to you, and thanks for calling KJ Lyons.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Hey, I want to talk about the years leading up to Brady's departure. I honestly feel, looking back, after they traded Garoppolo, I think Bill was so mad and so angry and bitter about it that he started literally investing more in the defense and less in the offense. I think he was trying to make the team the way he wanted it, and he's like, to hell with this, and he was pushing Brady out slowly. He's like, if I can't get rid of you via trade, then I'm going to get rid of you. You're going to walk away. I'm going to make it so bad here offensively, and still building the team defensively, that he pushed them out.
Mike, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, I think once...
They did score over 35 points in two straight playoff games in 2018, though.
Right, but, and I think that's probably Team Tom pulling things together. Like, Belichick is never going to stop them from scoring.
But also, like, the 2018 draft, he took two offensive players in the first round. In the 2019 draft, he took an offensive player in the first round. Like, so, I wouldn't say... Like, I think Bill made a decision in 2016-2017 time frame that he was going to lowball Brady and go year to year because he didn't think Brady could keep playing at a high level for that many more years. And we saw it with the contract offers after 2017 and after 2018 and eventually that one he signed that didn't allow him to be franchise tag. I think he made that decision, but I don't think he said, I'm going to make the offense bad or less, you know, fun for Tom so he'll be miserable. I think it was a money thing because I think if he did feel that way, Sony Michel wouldn't have been drafted. Isaiah Wynn wouldn't have been drafted. N'Keal Harry wouldn't have been. And look, you can tell me all three of those picks were bust, fine, but he wouldn't have even picked
those guys.
Playoff
Sony.
Yeah, playoff Sony was pretty freaking good, I'll tell you that. Took the wrong Georgia running back, but that's a different story. Like, I think if he was hanging Brady out to dry like that, you wouldn't have seen those guys taken there.
So if you missed the show yesterday, Odyssey app is free, and you probably want to combine these two shows together, kind of like a double CD. Where yesterday we talked about how the personal issue that Kraft said was involved with Malcolm Butler, there was a personal affront, if you will. I think the professional affront on Bill was the situation with Garoppolo. And I think why, like you said, you can't sabotage the team, but it's like you could put a slow leak in the tire that by time you're ready to make your move, it seems justified. So, yeah, you may not go and make, and this probably goes back to the stuff of why I was saying I don't think Tom would have stayed. I think he just wanted a change of scenery. If you've seen that the air been let out the tires and there's a no to trying to make a trade for a high-end receiver, you'd almost feel like there's a level of complicity. But at the same time, it does seem like after the Garoppolo situation happened where Bill gets, you know, gets hired up on, right? It's just like Tom goes to craft about it. That sets in you that you've been professionally affronted as a coach. You've been a coach yourself. What would you do if one of your players, let's say one of your players goes to your general manager about the way you're coaching? How would you feel as a coach?
Yeah, especially if he didn't come to me first, I would not be happy.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, too, because if you remember in the early episodes, Robert Kraft talked about how Drew Bledsoe went to him behind Bill's back and said that he should have his job back, and Kraft backed Bill in that. And that was, at that time, an extremely difficult thing to do. And so he backed him there, and when he came in with the Garoppolo situation and said, we're not trading Tom Brady, I know Bill didn't like it, I get it, but I mean, they'd only have five championships if Kraft didn't step in and do that, right? They don't win six championships if Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, maybe they would be in a better spot in 2020 or last year or this year, but they would only have five banners there instead of six if Kraft didn't step in. So I think in both of those instances, Kraft made the correct decision. It's just one of them, you know, Bill really liked because he backed him up with Bledsoe, and the other one Bill obviously didn't like.
Could you imagine if this team was in a Jimmy Garoppolo quandary right now?
Oh.
I don't think, even though, now people say, wait, you got San Francisco to the Super Bowl two times.
They went there in spite of him.
Yeah, that's one. And two, in a weaker division, right? Like what they did over those, the NFC has pretty much been a weak division. Like you can't really get outside of five teams that you'd say all have a chance to win it, right? So like the NFC West is always churning out one good team and another one that's a possible. The NFC South, it's a joke. You know, so you've got the NFC Central, it's starting to kind of form into something, and the NFC East, it's really just been a two-man race, where if you just look at the AFC North, anybody can win it virtually every year. So I don't know if, I'll put it this way, I know that Garoppolo would have been the wrong answer, so I'm with you right there. But I also wonder, had Bill been ignored once again, right, let's just say, or acquiesce to, right? That they trade Brady, which I think would have been an ultimate disaster. But it may have yielded something because, again, what did the team get back when Brady left?
Yeah, I think if you trade Brady, you get probably like 2 to 3 first-round picks, which is very valuable. But here's the issue. Like, let's just look at the next 2 years, 17 and 18. What Brady did in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville in the 2017 AFC Championship game, Garoppolo is never doing that. What Brady did against Kansas City on the road in the AFC Championship game in 2018, Garoppolo is never doing that. So you would have two fewer Super Bowl appearances and one less championship if you did that. So that's a trade-off. You might be in a little bit of a better spot right now. You would have never had to draft Mac Jones. You'd probably have some other talented pieces from the Brady trade, sure. But that's the trade. So again, Kraft made the correct decision. Bill didn't like it, but he made the correct decision.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We've got to talk about what the Bears did yesterday. Also, who the new Patriot is. Well, it's almost secondary. And how that affects what's going to happen in the draft. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Patriots should be disappointed. Patriots fans should be disappointed. It sounds as though they were in the right range, and it sounds as though they understood their need at the receiver position. It's obvious to anyone that's watched this team, not just last year, but the year before that. You could go back even 2 years before that. This has been a problem. He's not a great player. I agree with Andy Hart there, but this was your arguably biggest need. He was the best player available. You had the cap space to offer him the kind of deal or better than what he got in Tennessee. And is it an overpay? Yes. Is that how free agency works? Also, yes. This would have been not just an investment in Ridley or the offense or the team's ability to compete in 2024, Trenny. This also would have been an investment in the young quarterback that I think they're probably bringing in here this year. Would have made that player's life much easier. That would have been worth the overpay. The fact that they didn't do it is a disappointment.
KJ and Lyons on your St. Patrick's Day here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll get to those shortly. That was Phil Perry on NBC Sports Boston talking about the lack of free agency action from the Patriots. John, just listen to the names that haven't shown up. Derrick Henry to the Ravens. I'm not mad at that. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. I don't know if we would have paid for that. That would have been paid for, right? Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Not a big deal. Russell Wilson to the Steelers. Oh, this gets interesting, right? Kenny Pickett traded to Philly. And then yesterday, Justin Fields traded to the Steelers. How much of the Steelers? The Steelers are going to be paying what? The fourth year of a rookie deal and $1 million for two quarterbacks.
Yeah, because Denver's paying pretty much everything for Russell Wilson. So they have
and the Patriots couldn't get on either one of those?
I wouldn't want either one of those.
So let me ask you this. Are either one of those better than what's here right now?
Russell Wilson's better than what's here right now. Yeah, as a pure player, but I have other concerns about him.
Okay, because that leads to the next question. That you now know that Chicago isn't going to keep Justin Fields, and you probably will bet that Washington is not going to give up that second pick for anything. Are the Patriots in trouble with who they pick at three?
It's funny because it feels like right now it's definitely going to go quarterback 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. So the issue for the Patriots is, do they like all three? Because if there's one guy they don't like and that's the only guy there at three, then they kind of have to trade back at that point, right? Like then that's where the problem can come in. So like if they let's say they like all three in whatever order, but they like all three, they think all three can be franchise quarterbacks, then they're fine at three. It's not a problem. Even if someone trades up ahead of them, doesn't matter. But again, like let's say they don't like Daniels or they don't like May, you know, and they don't like McCarthy either. Like then they're in trouble if that's the only guy, you know, those are the only guys sitting there at three are guys they don't like. So that's where, again, Chicago's definitely going to take one. Washington's going to take one. And at a minimum, maybe someone will trade up with Washington to take one, but I think Washington will stay there. So they better like all three, because if they don't, now they could get stuck with a guy there that they don't like, and then they have to trade down.
I think they like two, and two reminds them of what possibly could be a replay of what just happened here. I think the two that they like are going to be the first two gone. I really believe that there are two that they like, and the hope is that the Commanders or the Bears make a mistake. In their eyes, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't hear anybody saying, but it could have been it was a conversation 6-7 months ago that the Bears might like Drake May. But you almost feel like they won't go the Drake May route because who did they take first a few years ago? Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
So then let's go to the Commanders. You say, okay, well, what if the Commanders are looking to take Drake May at two? Well, they just got rid of Sam Howell, who also came from the University of North Carolina in the same system. So now you're like, okay, do the Patriots love Drake May that much?
But I think that's they very well could think that way. I think that's a dangerous way to think for NFL teams. Because before C.J. Stroud, we would say the same thing about Ohio State quarterbacks, right? They're never good in the NFL. Before Tua, we would pretty much always say that about Alabama quarterbacks. Before Justin Herbert, we'd say that about a lot of Oregon quarterbacks. Oh, they're never good in the NFL.
So you believe that this Patriots franchise can take that risk in saying, you're going to be the first one that's going to break that mold?
It might have to. And maybe, and again, I mean, we could have said the same thing about the Texans a year ago and they have a franchise QB in Stroud. So, like, I think
but they also have a franchise culture, right? That's the other thing.
But they didn't last year. They have a they had a brand new head coach. They're in the same spot as the Patriots last year. Top three pick, brand new head coach. Remember, no one wanted to go there a couple years ago, and they had to hire David Culley at the last minute.
That's some of the loud rap music that was being played that the owner didn't like. CJ Stroud is up there saying, thank you, my Lord and Savior.
By the way,
that fits the culture.
David Culley sneakily got screwed in that whole situation, by the way. But point is, they were in the exact same position. They were in the same position the Patriots are now. And look, again, C.J. Stroud is good. DeMeco Ryans is good. So they went to the divisional round of the playoffs. Like, that's the thing, too. This rebuild the Patriots have, I'm not telling you they're going to be Super Bowl contenders in a year. It does not have to be a long rebuild. Look how quickly the Texans got good. Look how quickly the Bengals became good. Right? Like, there's teams all – look at how quickly the Detroit Lions became good. Like, you can become good pretty quickly. And the Patriots already have a good enough defense to be good. So if they get the quarterback right there and Mayo's good, all of a sudden they can be a playoff team. It's like, this does not have to be a 3 or 4 year rebuild.
But the biggest difference you're coming off of is who was supposed to be your future quarterback just did not work out. Right? That's the difference. It's one thing to be in this chasm and you've got journeyman there, like the Detroit situation. It was kind of like, okay, you got journeyman there. Nobody you really believe is going to take you to the next level. Then you get a Jared Goff in there. At least the guy has done something in the league. Same thing with the Bengals. You had journeyman in there and you get Joe Burrow. Things turn around. I think in this situation, it was like, hey, Mac Jones was supposed to be the turnaround. And so now you got to correct the most recent mistake. And I think a lot of it's tied to culture. And I think also in terms of the talent of the game, right? Because you say, who are the upper echelon of quarterbacks in your conference? Because those are the ones you're going to have to beat to get to the next level, right? Because when you're practicing against these guys, like, who plays the role of Josh Allen currently right now on the Patriots roster in quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, when you're going to shadow how you're going to defend Josh Allen.
But look, Houston had to trade Deshaun Watson. They thought he was the answer long-term, and there was a bunch of stuff on and off the field. They had to trade him. It was a huge disaster, but they got a good return on the trade.
But that was cultural.
But they hit Stroud.
That was cultural.
I mean, the Lions had Matt Stafford, the guy they thought was going to be their franchise guy for his whole career.
He wanted out of there.
They
he
traded
wanted out
him,
of
but
there.
That's the point. They moved on from something that, for one reason or another, did not work out, and within 2 to 3 years,
now,
they
John,
were really good.
Now, John, there are different reasons why one thing is another and the other. Like, if you're not good, that's one reason. And if you want to leave and you're good, that's another.
But it's not, I don't see the relevance there, because it's like the
Stafford
Patriots
was still good and wanted to get out of there.
Goff
Mac Jones is no good.
But he's not here anymore. It's not relevant.
Seventh round. You know what they're saying?
It's not relevant.
You're the guy you just took, who was supposed to be your future quarterback, is not even worth a punter.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the Patriots now?
They don't have a quarterback.
Yes, that's why they have to get the guy in the top three correct. That's what I've been saying. If you get that guy right, you can be good quickly.
So
you don't have to rebuild for 5 years.
So let me put this in front of you, and I'll put this in front of anybody. You call in and say whatever you want. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. If you're not sure about quarterback that's sitting at three, do you just go ahead and take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I would trade down, personally.
I my thing is, then go for the next sure thing, right? Like, if you're unsure about that third quarterback that's sitting in front of you, if you like two and you don't like this third one, you take the most sure thing right there, and that would be Marvin Harrison Jr., and take your chance that some contract comes available or some quarterback gets cut, and at least if you have Jacoby Brissett.
I wish they had Jacoby Myers.
Right. Well, that's what KJ Osborne's supposed to be, right? Yeah. And so, if you can at least get another quarterback that's slightly above the level of Jacoby Brissett, and you have a Marvin Harrison Jr., and you have a strong running game, and you have a decent defense, then the rebuild doesn't look as bad, and you're not waiting on a quarterback to develop maybe a year and a half in, 2 years in potentially.
Yes, and I wouldn't hate, like, let's say they're sitting at three, and the quarterback there they don't like. I wouldn't be up in arms if they took Marvin Harrison or Joe Alt. I wouldn't be angry, but I'd prefer a trade down, because I think you have a need at quarterback, at receiver, and at offensive tackle. And if you trade down, maybe you can find a way to address all three, or at least two out of those three. So I think you're maybe in a better position set up going into the season overall.
I think if you're in the top five, you can't let yourself out of that top five.
Yeah,
because
I wouldn't want
at least
to trade
there are
down.
Sure thing. Yeah. So you believe there are five sure things there, right? Let's just say three quarterbacks, and the Patriots may not believe in that third quarterback, but someone behind you might. Let's say the Jets could potentially move up into that situation and say, hey, we don't have to play this guy right away. We can park him. But if you're the Patriots, you say, you know what, we can't lose out on the others, which were probably Joe Alt, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, those would be the two others in a group of five that you would say the top five teams, all of them could use one of those guys.
Yeah, and I think, like, if I were to trade down, I would rather them still stay within the top 10 at least. And then you're still getting a really good player.
I think it's too far.
And you're getting some assets. And, yeah, I mean, ideally, hey, if you trade down, you're, you know, still in the top five. Sure, but, like, I don't want them – like, I know the Vikings have two first-round picks. One of them's 11. I would still – like, if they got both of those, maybe I could be open to it, but I'd still rather you not be outside the top 10.
You
could
take Brock Bowers as a tight end at 11 there?
I would. I might, KJ.
That's my thing. You don't want to be this bad so often that you're constantly drafting in this area. You want to be able to get it right and say, okay, who's the one that we believe can be the franchise difference maker over the next 8 to 10 years? And if the quarterback that comes at three is not the guy that you had as choice one or two, you go with the next best thing. And I think that's either Marvin Harrison or Joe Alt, because you figure, hey, Joe Alt will be your left tackle for the next 10 years, barring injury, and probably an all pro in 7 of those 10 years. That's a glaring need. So I don't know if I trade out of that, because you don't think that Alt and Marvin Harrison Jr. wouldn't be gone past 7?
Oh, I think they would be. Yeah, and that's the thing. So do you like Olufoshanu? Do you like Malik Nabers? Do you like someone else? Like, so yeah, that's when all that comes into play as well. But I agree. I think you make a good point. Like, if you don't like that quarterback at 3, then you cannot take him at 3 just to take him, because then it becomes like Christian Ponder when the Vikings took him, and it's like, yeah, okay, why are you or E.J. Manuel when the Bills took him. Like, why are you taking this guy in the first round? Like, you don't want that situation, because to your point, you don't want to be drafting in the top 5 that often. You want to avoid it. The best way to avoid that is to get quarterback right and to get the pieces you can. So even if you trade down, getting a good piece in the top 10 and then selecting a quarterback maybe you do like in the second round or later that you can then have as your starter.
So KJ Osborne is the lead, is the most recent, almost at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, he's the second best KJ in Boston.
Yes, that is correct. That's absolutely correct. No, but look, you're looking at a guy who, and this is what baffled me when I looked at some of his numbers. So Justin Jefferson was out for what, 5 games last year, somewhere around
there? Yeah, he missed some time.
The guy's targets have gone down. Last year was his lowest amount of targets in his 3 years.
And I might be wrong here. I thought Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, didn't he miss a few games too? Like, he missed some time as well? Yeah.
So, Bourne and Osborne. But here's my concern. Is you clearly see what, when it comes to the, what's the word I'm looking for? The exceptional talents, your wide receiver ones, your running back ones, your star linebackers, your outside rushers, your amazing defensive ends or tackles. It doesn't seem like New England is even on, it's not even on the sniff board. It's not even on the charcuterie board. Like, it's not even hidden up under some cheese. Like, it's just not playing out that way anymore. Like, who's excited about KJ Osborne? I'm not saying that he can't contribute, because if you put KJ Osborne on last year's team, he might be the second best receiver.
He'd be better than Parker and Smith-Schuster.
There you go. Yeah. But we're literally just adding, you know, a bad pot of gumbo in front of us and you know, how many days old, and just adding a couple more pieces into it, thinking that it's going to taste better because I put a couple more spices. This is not that move. That's why I say, hey, if you're not in love with the quarterback at 3, go get the generational talent Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt, right? Because the fan base needs something to be excited for. Like, if you could say Joe Alt could be the next John Hanna for this franchise, people would get behind that. Marvin Harrison Jr. can be the next face. He could be the modern day Calvin Johnson, maybe the second coming of Randy Moss, but having him from day one. Then at least that gets some type of free agent quarterback interested, or some quarterback who's unhappy with their situation or who might be a cut casualty, where you can say, hey, we can come in and develop them and be ready to go maybe midseason.
And I think the other piece of this is, do they like Bo Nix? Do they like Michael Penix? Because one of those guys is probably going to be there at pick 34. So you could end up, because I figure J.J. McCarthy will probably be the fourth quarterback off the board. So you figure one of those guys will be there either at pick 34, maybe they have to trade up back into the end of the first round. But, like, let's say they like Bo Nix just as much as, you know, Drake May, for example. Then they can take a guy at 3 who's a different position, a generational talent, and then still get a quarterback they like who can take the same development track as they would have if they took a guy at three and be their eventual franchise guy.
Let me paint a picture for you. Let's just say Bo Nix is the guy, and it's the introductory day press conference that Bo Nix is going to be the next quarterback of the future.
Bo knows.
Is the level of excitement by the fan base the same as it was for Mac Jones or less?
So if he's the guy, I think it's a little bit more, because if he's the guy, that means you probably took him at 34 and then you probably took Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt at three. So then you're coming into it excited about that guy they took at three and Bo Nix. And people, I think, people around here realize that if the Patriots just got like average quarterback play last year, they might have won twice as many games. And you can figure that even a rookie coming in will probably be better than what you got out of Mac Jones last year. So that, I think there will be more excitement than what we saw when they drafted Mac.
And here's what I think is fascinating of trading Mac now. I thought he was going to be traded, but I thought the better value you would be able to get back is once you got into preseason, right? So let's say you do take a Bo Nix. Okay, Bo, your job is to beat out Mac Jones in the preseason. So now I can get probably a better performing Mac Jones trying to go for his job. But on the flip side, I'm also saying to myself, hey, this guy can get us maybe now a fourth rounder because he's what he's shown in the preseason, right? Like, we want to move off of him, but we want to push the new guy. I don't know if you're going to have that if you bring in a Bo Nix. Like, I mean, I think he'll pair well with Brissett, but I don't know if that's the guy. Like,
yeah, that's the tough thing. It's like, do they like, and Penix is another guy, like, do they like those guys enough that they'd be willing to take them later? Because that was something, too, about Mac Jones. Like, I think they liked Mac Jones, but they didn't love Mac Jones when they drafted him. He was the fifth quarterback taken in the first round, and they didn't trade up or anything for him. They just kind of let him sit. Like, if Mac Jones had been drafted at 14 overall before them, I don't think they would have been freaking out and super disappointed sitting at 15. So is there a concern that that happens again? Like, oh, yeah, we like Bo Nix, but then, well, I don't think you want to like the guy that you take as your future franchise QB. You really want to love that pick. And you want, like, hey, this is the guy. So that's a question I think that's another kind of sneaky, important question for them to answer.
Well, you know what? I think another factor in this could be the re-signing of Michael Owenu, right? Because if you sign him and you're still playing him on the right side, and let's say you go get a Penix, well, now you believe that Owenu is probably your best offensive lineman and is going to give your quarterback, new quarterback, the best possible protection on its blind side and allow you to build the line going from the right side to the left. Making sense?
Yeah, because then it would kind of make him like the traditional left tackle. Like, correct. And that value and all that, yeah.
Correct. So I wonder if Penix could be a play in that regard, because as you know, like when running play action off of a left-handed quarterback, it looks a lot different to the defense. They're not used to seeing it that way. I think that's the way that this Patriots team is going to be able to flex any type of muscle. It's not going to be with trick plays, but with slight deception of hand just to get a little more space. And that's why I would say, okay, I wouldn't be mad if, say, they take Marvin Harrison Jr. at three and get Michael Penix in the second round. Then I would say, okay, you know what? Maybe you're working with something because at least you know the best possible protection for a left-handed quarterback has already been signed to the team and been given the money that they want. So this person's going to be here long-term. Plus, you've got an all-pro receiver already on the staff with other pieces, and you've got the tight end. At least you believe that Hunter Henry would still be able to be a help. Something is sleight of hand like that, because that's what I think is probably kept Tua in the league longer, is just the fact that he's a left-handed quarterback. Like, his blind side is a different side, and the better tackle is on that right side, where usually you put your better tackle on the left.
Yeah, and let's not forget, also, to your earlier point, Tua has Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Like, especially in Tyreek's case, the generational talent type guy. Right. There with him. And of course, he's got the great offensive mind and Mike
McDaniel. But Waddle is at least drafted.
And Waddle's a great player in his own right. I think he had, 100 catches the last couple of years. Like, he's a great player in his own right. And then they went out and got Tyreek Hill. They have a great offensive mind coaching them. So that's it. Like, if they walked away from the draft with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Penix, like, I feel good about that. Now, would I prefer that they took a quarterback at three overall, a guy they love? Yeah. But I still would feel good about that selection. And even if, let's say they absolutely love Michael Penix and they trade down in the first round, but they still take Penix in the first round, like, I'm okay. If it's a guy they love, like, that's what it should be. Like, that was, again, the issue with Mac Jones. They liked him. They didn't love him. I think if it's going to be your franchise QB, you got to love that pick and you got to love that player.
That's funny you say that, because Chicago loved Justin Fields so much that they did move up and trade with Dallas.
That's a good point.
And it shows you how much love is. What's love got to do with it when it's a bad forward motion?
Yeah.
All right, KJ and Lyons, would you rather, more likely to, coming next? Plus your calls and text here, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Sunday to you.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
I serve your ass like Raphael Nadal. Relievers as starters ain't cutting it, pal. Word to your moms, while Soto drops bombs. Sox paying for pitches like saying KJ's on. What's full throttle and when's it return? They always pitch and bring a shotgun. Shoot! My head's hanging down. My head's hanging down. So tell me, Red Sox is on the mound. Who's on the mound? Who's on the mound? Who's on the mound? Triple A, call up to sit down.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Nice salute to the Red Sox there, John, about their pitching situation going into this regular season.
That was one of your better parodies. My favorite is still the one you did, I think it was Eminem, the Stan one. That was,
oh, yeah, I forgot.
That was a while back.
I'm thinking about making a greatest hits for our sales department here to sell, but nobody seems to return my call. I'm like, here's a way to make money. You can do it for charity,
yeah.
KJ and Lyons parodies, stuff like that. I mean, it's like, I probably have four albums worth over the last 2 years.
You should just put them on Spotify.
No, gosh,
the KJ music page.
No, we've got our own streaming service here, the Odyssey app. I don't want to go against what we've got.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if they don't want it, you know, you can put it out there.
You know what? Maybe I should put them on TikTok before people think it's going to be banned.
Oh, that's true.
You know, for those, this is why civics class is very important. I guess, let me get on a soapbox here. TikTok will not be banned unless it doesn't get sold. So if you really want a campaign to save TikTok, just say, sell TikTok. That's all you have to do. Like, don't ban it. They had 10-year-olds calling congressmen. Like, I don't even represent you. You're not old. Yeah. I represent your parents.
Not nearly as many people are worried about who controls Starlink, but, you know.
Whatever. Forget about there could be a nuclear war that goes on above us and totally just send one zap. And everything be out. But no, I got to do my dance video.
Yeah.
I got to. There was a girl who's on television who was in tears. She's like, I just quit my job last week to become a full-time TikToker. And I'm thinking, people up at her job were like, she sucked at her job so bad she needed to go do something else.
If you put those parodies on TikTok, I could see you being one of those famous TikTok guys. I could see that.
Yeah, but you know what? I like my privacy at the international level. I do. You know
what You're I mean? An like, international man of mystery.
Yeah, you suddenly have some guy tap me on the shoulders like, I KJ's knew you were coming.
In Istanbul, and they're like, are you the guy with the Red Sox parody?
Or I might be in the grocery store and say, hey, we knew you would be here because we've been observing your melon buying. You'd be like, damn.
Yeah.
Missed any of the show. The Odyssey app is free. Let's go to the text line 37937 before we get to who would you rather, more likely to. Zach, what you got?
A lot of Robert Kraft hate today.
No, well, they don't have his money.
This debacle of the Patriots is all Robert Kraft's fault. It was his pick to get Mac Jones. It was his decision to go get Bill O'Brien. He meddled with Belichick.
I mean, what do you think? Eight times multiple, you can buy the team? It was about $32 billion?
Yeah, and I just, like, and he's not innocent, but I can't sit here and say, like, he's the driving force behind them not being good anymore. Like, I think that's unfair.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, would you feel the same way about him if he had moved the team to Hartford?
Yeah.
And didn't, you know,
or if he had stuck with Drew Bledsoe when Drew Bledsoe went and complained to him in 2001.
Carroll one more chance.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. And let me tell you, folks, it's been really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Next one, Zach.
All right. This texter wants to trade back with the Vikings, pick up their second rounder, and continue to add offensive players and skill position players.
John?
Yeah. So that would be what? Pick 11, pick 23, probably a second rounder. I would want to try to get Minnesota's first next year as well. I would be open to that if the Patriots really like Bo Nix or Michael Penix, so they think they can get J.J. McCarthy at 11 and they like him. Like, I still think, like, I want to walk away from this draft with a guy they think can be quarterback long term for them. So if they have that guy, then I'm open to it.
Yeah, I don't think you get out of the top 10.
I'd rather not get out of the top 10 either.
Don't get out of the top 10 because if Minnesota is willing to give up the 11th, then what they're saying is they believe that there's someone they're willing to overpay for, or someone who thinks is better than what would be available to them, and that may be your option, right? It's almost kind of like going through the cafeteria line. You're betting on steak day at college. Better get there early because the steaks that nobody wanted are what's going to be left for you. And I would hate for that to be the situation for the Patriots trying to get a quarterback.
Yeah, which, by the way, happened a couple of years ago.
It did. Did it happen to you?
No, it happened. No, I'm saying the Patriots court, like Mac Jones was just a guy left.
So were you one of those that was screaming at the television to go get Justin Fields to make the trade to go up to go get him?
Not necessarily. Like, okay. And I like Justin Fields, but it's just, I think it was one of those that they didn't, you know, like the 49ers traded up for Trey Lance. I know it didn't work out, but you knew they really loved that guy and targeted him. And I thought, again, the Patriots liked Mac Jones. It didn't feel like they loved Mac Jones.
Right, and that's think where we are this year as well. Like, I think after I do believe that Chicago, and this is what's really, really weird, is so there were other teams that couldn't give Chicago a lot more for that number one pick than to just give it up for a sixth rounder?
Yeah, well, that could turn into a four. But also Fields, like, I don't know, he just hasn't been good either. I mean, he's been better than Mac Jones, but he hasn't been good.
I think there's some, you ever hear the term saying there are some guys who love the game of football and then there are other guys who love what the game of football can do for them?
Yep.
I think Justin Fields is going to learn that while he's on the bench in Pittsburgh. Because if you look back through his history, even on the Netflix special, I forget, it's called like QB1 or something like that. You remember he was in one? It was like him, Trevor Lawrence. I forgot who the other guy was. But it talked like he was kind of flighty then. Like, I'm going to go to Georgia, then I'm not going to go to Georgia. Remember there was that controversy, yeah. Said that someone said racist about him. But he had already decommitted from Penn State away from James Franklin. Then the Georgia situation happened, and he said, well, he doesn't want to be at Georgia. Then he gets to Ohio State. And then, you know, and then he's the one that's really fighting for them to play through COVID. He's really the voice for the Big Ten, if you will, at that time. So I think that was a lot about, like, I need to get to the pro money. And then when you get to the pro money, I mean, the one thing you've never really done in your career, you're now doing, running around. And so I think he has to sit down and watch the game of football for a second. Same thing with Mac Jones. I just don't think the Patriots' next quarterback can be that guy unless you have him sit right away. Let it be like a 7 or 8 game learning process versus a 2-3 year headache.
Sure. Yeah, and I think Fields is in a great spot with Mike Tom. Like, that's a good spot for him to sit.
All right, let's get to would you rather, more likely to, either or. Hit it, Zach.
Would you rather, more likely to, either or, I ask of you. Would you rather, more likely to, either or, I ask of you.
All right, 3 questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, and either or. They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All righty, we're going to have to do a rapid fire.
Yeah.
Would you rather Game 7 of a Celtics Eastern Conference playoff game and the Celtics down 3 with 2 minutes left in the game and because of foul trouble and injuries, would you rather have Peyton Pritchard on the floor or Luke Kornet?
Luke Kornet.
Pritchard.
All right, more likely to happen.
The Patriots trade out of pick 3 or take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3?
I think they're more likely to trade out.
Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3.
Alrighty, either or. Have Aaron Rodgers teach your kids 9th grade civics class for a year, or have Hollywood mom Kris Jenner teach your kids 9th grade sex ed class?
Oh, God.
I'll take Kris Jenner.
You know, politically incorrect to say it would be Kris Jenner because, I mean, like, she'd be teaching more than what's in the curriculum. But I agree because Aaron Rodgers will pretty much, I think he will tell you that Stonewall Jackson was the 42nd president of the United States. I'm just concerned about that. So, and that is the rapid fire version of would you rather, more likely to, either or. KJ and Lyons, it's a 40-pound bag. It's a 40-pound show in a 5-pound bag, man.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, guys.
Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. At The Real John Lyons on Twitter, at KJ Carson, at Zach Coe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Co_Zach. So close
enough. Co_Zach. And, of course, at WEEI. Selection Sunday next. Who do you like to win the women's title real quick, John?
LSU again. Angel Reese is going to be back.
I think she'll pull off something, get suspended for the wrong game. I think USC goes undefeated the whole way. I think they win it. And I think UConn wins it. They are the favorite at +425 at Vegas. Selection Sunday is next here on WEEI. Have a great St. Patrick's Day evening. And we'll talk to you again in the near future. See ya.